welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you broadcasts from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's Westerns in this hour. Later on, it's Gunsmoke from 1954, but first, a broadcast of Half Gun Will Travel. John Daner stars as Paladin in the story The Monster of Moonridge, heard on CBS on March 8, 1959.
Something loose on that mountaintop that's bigger than any man I've ever seen, and stronger. Before I leave, I intend to find out what it is.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Will not change your mind, Mr. Paladin. You still go?
I'm afraid so, hey boy. Oh, by the way, send a dozen long-stemmed roses to Miss Julie Parker. And regrets.
Oh, do not go there, Mr. Paladin. Please.
Why not? Why does this trip bother you so much?
Oh, I read a newspaper. Monster at Moon Ridge. Lady bewitched by apparition. Oh, please, you don't go there, Mr. Paladin.
I've already been hired and accepted. I'm leaving right away.
Oh, then, let me, please.
What have you got in that jar?
Please. Dragon tooth powder.
Dragon tooth?
These are one here, and one here. Keep you from harm. Dragon's tooth powder, very powerful protection.
Your new country has a better formula for destroying superstition, hey boy. Equal parts of reason and daylight. But I thank you for the friendship behind the thought.
Oh, then you go. You see Mr. Vito Bella?
That's right, Vito Bella, Bowtown, California.
Even if you've had embarrassing dandruff for years, you can get rid of it now in 3 minutes. That's all it takes with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Yes, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes with Fitch, quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. What's more, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Just apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes, with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. At the same time, gentle Fitch can leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too. Use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
The Indians have a name for the high mountain lands back of Placerville. They call it Shadow Ground. Indians have a way of seeing things in the shape of a piece of land that no white man can see, so they always bypass it. They didn't like the thunder that boiled up against the peaks and rolled down the canyons. But then the Indians had little use for gold and silver, and the white men did. And the white men built their town where a teepee village might have been, close to the top of Moon Ridge. It was after dark, and the sky was heavily overcast when I pulled up in front of the sheriff's office in Bowtown.
Hold it right there.
What? I'm looking for the sheriff.
That's me. Who are you?
My name is Paladin.
Yeah.
riding in at night with black horse and black trail clothes. I'm surprised you didn't get your head shot off.
Well, do you have to hold that gun on me?
Come on in.
Who's he, Dan?
He's a hobgoblin, ain't you heard?
Oh, you smart.
This is Jake Kelly, Mr. Paladin. He carries silver bullets in his gun.
Really?
Claims something grabbed him on top of Moon Ridge one night. Oh, sit down. I'll pour you some coffee.
Thanks.
Where are you from, Mr. Paladin?
San Francisco.
Oh, that's a long way.
Are you the fellow Vito said he was in for? About Emily?
He wants to know what's bothering her. I'm going to try to find out.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what's wrong with Emily. She's hexed, that's what. And you'd know I'm talking true, Dan, if you'd ever ride up there and see her yourself.
Sheriff's got to stay around town. Now, you know that.
You ain't set foot out since the time your posse got scattered.
No, that was a little accident. A few horses run away and folks build it into something big. There ain't nothing up there.
Oh, Miss Paladin, I was as far from it as I am from you. And I seen it. You're half man, half bear. Yeah, and footprints this long. Human at one end, claws at the other.
Well, I guess I'll have to see them, too.
Don't believe me. All right. When you get to that Bella place, you ask Emily Bella what carried her off, Yeah, but don't ask Dan here, he's sheriff. And if he admitted there was something up there, he'd have to go on out after it.
Get out of here, Jake. Now go on.
Yeah.
Crazy old coot.
Sheriff, is there anything valuable up there? Minerals, grazing lands, any reason for someone to scare people away?
No. Formation ain't right for gold or silver. Indians didn't want it. Said it was full of spirits.
You know, a short time ago, I was feeling superior to a Chinese friend of mine when he sprinkled dust on my coat. I forgot that he came by his superstitions honestly, that he learned them from the cradle. I can't find the same excuse for you, Sheriff.
Well, I ain't superstitious.
Why the mistletoe above your door?
Forgot it from Christmas, I guess.
There's an old belief that it wards off evil spirits.
All right, Paladin. The Bella place is north out of town. The last house on the way to Moon Ridge country.
What makes the different sound and sound difference that you hear on this station? It's the teamwork between the CBS Radio Network and its affiliated stations. This teamwork combines the far-flung resources of CBS News with local programming that helps you know your neighbors and neighborhood. Your listening post on your town, your nation, and the world is this station, backed by CBS Radio. Don't settle for less.
The Bella place was run down and listless, with a small light gleaming in the window, and the figure of a woman seated on the porch steps, a young woman, dark, plain, no shoes or stockings, long hair, and the most vacantly staring eyes I have ever seen. Good evening. Miss Emily Bella?
It's dark.
Yes?
Oh, Mr. Bella?
Yes?
My name is Paladin.
Oh. Mr. Paladin. Call me... Oh. Momento, please. Emily. Now, you promised you'd tell Papa when you stepped outside. Remember? It's cold here. And when a visitor comes... A big girl says what, huh?
How do you do?
How do you do, Emily?
Very good. Now you come in the house with us, huh? Emily, you can go to your room. A dozen years ago, there was, in this valley, epidemic. took my wife, almost my daughter.
I'm sorry.
Afterwards, Emily's body grew, but her mind... She remains a child. Wine?
Please. Well, this epidemic, what was it?
Oh, we don't know. No doctors here. There was a young boy who was affected the same way. People treat him like an animal. They call him names. They kick him until he's a mother. But she took him away. I saw I have to leave too, bring Emily here, far from a town. The land here is... it's no good, but we manage.
Those dolls are hers?
See, she is of an age where toys are pleasant.
She's fortunate to have you as a father.
I think she's fortunate in other ways. Maybe you don't know what I mean, huh?
Perhaps I do. There's nothing shocking or ugly about remaining a child. At the best age of all, their world is wonderful, mysterious, half real, half make-believe. The world you and I live in, Mr. Bella, is not always as pleasant.
I think you're a wiser man, Mr. Paladin. We drink. Salud.
Salud. The newspaper said Emily was this way because of shock, some unusual experience.
A spell cast by the monster of a moon ridge.
Well, since that story is untrue, why do you want to pay me $200, Mr. Bella?
Your telegram said 500.
You haven't answered my question.
Mr. Paladin, there is something on Moon Ridge. It took Emily away from me for a week, and she wishes to go back to it. I don't want to lose my daughter.
Go on.
Well, that week I search for her. I find her prints and other prints which I will not describe because...
Half bear, half man.
Well, you've heard, huh? No, she will not tell me, even her father, what kept her there. But she was not harmed.
And she wishes to return to this
yes,
thing?
Yes. She has tried twice to run away.
Then I think it's time you let your daughter go back to Moon Ridge, Mr. Bella.
What?
The three of us will leave first thing in the morning. The morning was dark and foreboding with the threat of rain in the air. Low clouds hung over the peaks and in the valleys, twisting the trees into gnarled shapes and making the rocks grotesque and sudden to come upon, all very unreal. But the track we came across on the top of Moon Ridge late that afternoon was real enough.
Half a man, half a bear, huh?
Maybe.
Emily. Oh, Mr. Paladin, be honest with me, please. What make this print?
I don't know, Mr. Bella.
No, it's going to be dark less than an hour. Hey, what is that?
I'd say it was a bear.
Emily!
Please.
Emily, come back! Paladin, she's going down the canyon.
You follow with the horses. I'll try to catch her. The canyon walls were steep and rocky, and it made the climb down them treacherous. By the time I was standing on the floor of the canyon, darkness was coming overhead. I walked toward what I thought might be the head of the canyon, only to find a wall of granite blocking my way. But no Emily, no sign of Bella, no way out, but something watching me, something old, bent in tattered clothing, witch-like in the quick look I had, and then gone suddenly. You come back here. All right. I know whoever you are. Listen to this carefully. I have a gun. I'm not going to be frightened away. Are you there? Can you hear me? I warn you that I'm going to... When I regained consciousness, I was inside an old mine shaft, a chain on my leg, minus guns. A very real-looking bear was chained across from me. There, in the dim light filtering back from the opening of the mine shaft, I saw something moving slowly toward me. Something which seemed only half human. Something old and horrible. I waited there, quiet, as the thing came closer. What do you want with me?
Leave while you can.
She had dropped a small sledgehammer before she turned and left. It took me the rest of the night to pound out the connecting pin so that I could remove the shackles from my leg. Outside it was morning, bright and clear.
Paladin!
What?
Paladin!
Bella! Over here!
I've been riding all night. You seen Emily?
No.
Here, I found your gun and a belt, Paladin.
Oh, thank you very much.
I didn't know what to do. I have expected to find your body.
Now, let me ask you something, Bella. Has anyone ever been hurt in Moon Ridge country here? Actually, physically injured?
No.
Only frightened?
Yes.
I've been frightened, too, but I'm not hurt. Bella. I think I know where Emily is.
Where?
I would say up there.
Huh?
Beyond that cliff that backs the canyon.
The cliff?
Possibly a meadow behind there.
Oh, that trail would be worse than in Sicily. That would frighten a bad rider.
And with a little clever discouragement, even a good rider. Come on.
Now, there's a luxury car that fits regular parking spaces and ordinary garages that's easy to handle in traffic. It's America's compact luxury car, the Ambassador by Rambler. Now, medium-priced car buyers can have the room, comfort, luxury, and performance they expect in a fine car, but without excessive length, width, and bulk. If other medium-priced cars have sized and priced you out of the market, then you owe it to yourself to test our best. American Motors' finest, the luxuriously compact Ambassador. Note the quality construction and careful attention to detail. Enjoy the most favorable power-to-weight ratio on the medium-priced field with Ambassador's 270-horsepower V8 engine. Try luxury features like individually adjustable front seats that glide back and forth separately. 5 minutes at the wheel of an Ambassador will change your ideas about luxury cars. Test our best. The Ambassador V8 by Rambler. Finest car ever priced so close to the lowest. See, drive the luxurious Ambassador now at Rambler dealers.
It was a steep trail, but a worthwhile one to follow because at the end of it, there was a meadow brilliant in the high sunlight. And there was a house with a fireplace and smoke coming from a chimney. Not very mysterious at all.
Hey, someone living up here.
Very comfortably, I'd say.
Hey, Paladin, look there, across the meadow. Emily, my Emily.
Wait.
No, wait for what? She may be hurt.
Does she sound like she's in trouble, Bella? Look, there's a boy with her. Do you recognize him?
Maybe. It could be Maria's boy, the one I told you who was afflicted like Emily.
Yes, the mother and son, the ones they ran out of town.
Yes. I think it's time that we visit her, huh?
There's no need.
Maria?
Yes, I watched you two climb the trail up there. You have no respect for witches.
But I have a great deal of respect for a clever woman.
So, where else could I take my son? I had no money. I had to find a place where people wouldn't ridicule him.
Mr. Bella suffered from the same things.
See, and once we were old friends, Murray. You should have had faith in me.
Well, I should have sent her away the first time she wandered up here, but it's just so good to see children happy together.
The soil is good up here?
Better than below.
Hmm?
More sun and more water. Why talk of it?
Why not?
Because there's always a man somewhere who won't scare off, like this one.
I'm sorry.
Materialize an apparition on a broomstick in front of him, and he'll ask it to sweep the floor. The monster footprints I made, half mine, half a bear's, they meant nothing. I've run out of tricks. I've moved before. We can do it again.
Why move?
See, why move, huh? If I lived here, there would be no man-bear track, no cave to put foolish men in and then release him to run frightened, shouting foolish things. I think since I am a man, there would be a gun in my hand, and friends would be welcome, others would not.
If a man has something to say, he comes right out and says it.
Yes, well, Maria, I think perhaps I like your land.
And I think I'll be going. I'll expect $200 to be placed in my San Francisco account, Mr. Bella. And I suspect that you got more than you bargained for.
But you will get what you bargained for, Mr. Paladin, $500.
You have to ride through town, I suppose, and talk to the sheriff?
No. Ignorant and prejudiced people like to be deceived, and they deserve it when they are. Why confuse them with the truth?
Oh, Mr. Paladin, you back safe all in one piece.
And glad to be back, hey boy.
Was it bad?
Oh, bad for people who believe in witchcraft. Any messages for me?
Oh, yes, sir. Many messages. Let me see. Lady send note and say you call on her when you come back.
Uh-huh.
Another lady send servant over and tell you not to call on her when you get back.
What else?
Is all.
Well, in that case, tell me the name of the lady over there, hey boy.
Oh, yes, sir. It's Miss Romero from Spain.
Uh-huh.
Very new in this country.
Thank you. Miss Romero?
Why, yes.
My name is Paladin. May I be of service to you?
Service, senor?
Si. It is the custom for a gentleman to offer his services to a lady in this land.
Oh? What kind of services?
Any kind the lady wishes. Dining in fine restaurants, the theater, the opera. Perhaps a carriage ride to historical points of the city. Your heart names it.
I like these customs, senor. Isn't such a relationship fraught with possibilities?
Oh, it is, senorita. All kinds of possibilities. Shall we begin with the possibility of dinner this evening?
Gun Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonnell and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Gene Roddenberry and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Virginia Christine, Jess Kirkpatrick, and Gene Bates. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 8th of March, 1959, on CBS. Just a bit better than a week earlier than that radio show, the television series which came first with Richard Boone dramatized that same script. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeBonier. Now for a Gunsmoke episode that was also dramatized on TV in January of 1958, 4 years after its first radio airing of the story Claustrophobia, the CBS broadcast from June 26, 1954.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, the story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Camp, Mr. Dillon?
We'll ask whoever's living in that cabin up ahead if there's any water around here, Chester.
Most likely there ain't. These settlers put up a cabin just anywhere and then start praying for rain.
Oh, we could have camped back on Smoky Hill River.
No, sir. I'd rather go dry. Just as long as we make Dodge by tomorrow night.
We'll make it.
I never seen such a place as that Fort Wallace, Mr. Dillon. Man could go plumb out of his mind living there.
Well, they don't build army posts for pleasure-loving people like you, Chester.
I've been in the army.
No? Like it?
Well, sir, we didn't always see eye to eye, me and the army, but at least I didn't get killed.
Well, that helps. I'll bet you look pretty bold in a uniform, Chester.
Oh, my, yes. I surely did.
I wonder if there's anybody home here. Hello?
Place looks deserted, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Here, hold my horse, Chester. I'll take a look.
Yes. Ain't nobody home?
There's a man in here, Chester, lying on the floor.
What?
He's dead. Somebody killed him.
We'll put the fire out now, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, we better get started.
Looks like rain this morning.
Yeah, it's too early to tell for sure.
Too bad we don't know that fellow's name, Mr. Dillon. Sure do hate to bury a man and not even put a marker on his grave.
I'd rather know the name of the man that killed him.
Yeah. It's awful easy to get by with killing a man way out here.
Yeah, too easy.
Say, look over there, Mr. Dillon. Yonder comes a couple of riders.
Yeah, I see them.
What do you suppose they're carrying rifles for?
Stand over there, Chester, about 10 feet from me, huh?
Yes, sir.
And keep the hair out of your eyes.
Yes, sir, I will.
What are you men doing here?
Do you own this place?
I wouldn't live in a shack like that. We got a real house over on Turkey Bend. But that don't answer my question, mister. What are you doing here?
We found a dead man in the cabin there last night, so we stopped to bury him.
A dead man? That must have been Riley. What happened to him?
He got shot.
Who'd have shot a nice fellow like Bob Riley? Maybe they done it, Deaver.
They probably did. You think we ought to hang him?
It'd be easier to shoot him and leave him here as a kind of a warning.
Yeah, good idea, Giles.
You move that rifle 1 inch, mister, and you'll die for it. Now go ahead, mister. You're calling it.
It ain't worth a chance. All right, mister, whoever you are, you and your friend get mounted and ride out of here.
You're Giles, huh? And Deaver?
That's right. We don't want people around here. Might get an idea to settle down. You two start riding, and right now.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
That coffee you made this morning was weak as well water. Get that fire going again and build some more, huh?
Okay, sir. Sure got a lot of nerve, mister.
You don't even blink, Deaver. Look at him.
We'll be by here later, mister. We won't ride up so close next time. You better be nowheres around. Come on, Scott.
I almost stopped breathing, Mr. Dillon.
It was two against two, Chester. We'd have made out all right.
Yes, I know, but it's the waiting that chills me. Say, you know something? I'll bet anything it was them that killed the fellow that lived here.
Maybe. And I'd sure like to know more about those two. But right now, we better get started for Dodge.
Yes, sir, I'll go get the horses.
Chester and I got mounted and rode maybe a mile and a half when we came across a sort of a camp. There was a man there, a tall man with long yellow hair and bright blue eyes that seemed always to be looking into the distance. He had a mule and an old wagon and some hogs that he kept in a well-built, partly covered pen. But he hadn't put up a shelter of any kind for himself, and it didn't look as though he was about to. We got down and walked over to where he was standing by a small fire.
Sit down, men. I got no coffee, but you're welcome to that pot of chicory. There's a spoonful of molasses in it.
Well, thank you, but we just stopped to say hello.
No need to hurry off, mister. My name's Obie Ridges.
Glad to know you, Ridges. I'm Matt Dillon, and this is Chester Proudfoot.
How you do? I don't meet many people out here.
Are you raising hogs?
All my life. Not here, though.
Where do you live, Ridges? You got a house somewhere?
Ain't lived in a house since I was 9 years old. I like it outside. I need a breeze.
Well, you're outside here, all right.
And I ain't gonna move, no matter what they say.
No matter what who says?
Them two fellas up on Turkey Bend.
Giles and Deaver?
Them's the one.
Tell me, Ridges, there's a cabin about a mile and a half north of here. You know the man that lives there, Riley?
He comes by here now and then.
Well, we buried him last night. Somebody shot him.
That's bad. That's real bad. You better tell the law about it if you're going anywhere, mister. I don't hold with murdering a man.
Well, I'm a U.S. Marshal, Ridges.
That a fact? Well,
don't you ever get into Dodge?
Well, never have, but I'm going today.
What, in that wagon? It'll take you a week.
No, sir. I'm going horseback.
Well, I swear I don't see no horse.
Well, right out there, fella. Here he comes now. There's Jim Branch leading him. Jim talked me into going to Dodge with him, but I know I won't like it. I'm just doing it for Jim's sake, kind of coddling him along, making him feel good.
Where does this Jim Branch live?
He's got a little place over west of here somewhere. Jim's nothing but a cowboy, Marshal. You'll be drifting on one of these days. Kind of like me that way.
Hello?
Got company, Jim. ready to go, Obie? I'm all dressed up like a sore thumb, can't you see?
What'd you do, change your socks?
This here's a U.S. Marshal, Jim. I forget his name.
My name's Matt Dillon. I'm glad to know you.
I'm just proud,
Bud. Well, how'd you do? You heading for Dodge, Marshal?
Yeah, we'll ride in with you if you like.
Good. This is a big day. I've been talking Obie into going to town for 3 months. He claims he don't like towns, but wait till he sees Dodge.
I'm happy right here with my hogs. I don't need no town.
Your hogs won't miss you. Well, let's get started.
I gotta be back in 3 days, Jim, like you promised. Them hogs will starve if I ain't.
You'll be back.
Oh, say.
What?
The marshal here tells me Riley got shot.
No.
There's Giles and Deaver done it.
Now, wait a minute, Richards. It looks like they did it, but if I could prove it, I'd be taking them in for trial right now.
Well, it's too bad you can't, Marshal. They're no good, them fellas.
Well, I can wait. They'll make a mistake sooner or later. But we better get going. It's 60 miles to Dodge. Good evening, Kitty.
Sit down, Matt. You want a drink?
No, thanks. I just had dinner.
That reminds me. Fella brought me a dozen quail today.
Oh?
I can cook them for dinner tomorrow if you're going to be around.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll be here.
They ought to be ripe enough by then.
You know, I never saw as many quail as there are this year. Riding in yesterday, we put up clouds of them.
That Jim Branch seems like a nice fella, Matt. Obie Ridges, too.
Yeah, they are, Kitty. They sure make a funny pair.
Maybe. But still, they're kind of like brothers. Look at them over there at the bar. Obie's getting spookier every minute he's here.
Obie likes it outdoors, right out on the ground.
I doubt he'll ever come into town again. Jim told me he still hasn't been able to get him to take a meal in a restaurant. He has to bring it outside for him. Says he can drink inside, but that's all.
Well, maybe we'd all be better off if we lived that way, Kitty.
Not me. I don't want to live like an animal.
Don't you?
Hello, Miss Kitty.
Hello, Jim.
Marshal, something bad's happened.
What, Jim?
Well, this fella here just rode into town from up north. Well, he come by Obie's camp. Marshal, somebody shot Obie's mule and burnt up his wagon and killed all his hogs.
That's right, Marshal.
Oh, yeah. No.
Giles and Deaver again, huh?
Well, it's Obie I'm worried about. I never should have made him come to town, Marshal. He'll kill them fellas now. I know he will.
I'll ride out with you, Jim. Right now.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first...
This coming Tuesday night on most of these stations... CBS Radio turns John Lund loose on his latest case of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the Woodward, Manila matter, Dollar launches a search for a missing man and a missing fortune. And when the chips are all totaled up, the missing man and the missing money, each somewhat depleted, are accounted for. Don't forget, this Tuesday night at the Star's address, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
I wanted to ride out to Obie Ridger's camp that night, but Obie insisted on staying in Dodge. He even tried to have a good time for Jim's sake. Next day, however, on the ride up, he just sat his horse and stared straight ahead and never said a word. We reached his camp after dark, and we could see his mule and his hogs lying there in the moonlight, and the remains of his wagon, charred and ghost-like. There was nothing we could do then, so he lay down on the ground and went to sleep. But that was our worst mistake, as I discovered when Chester woke me next morning. Obie had disappeared, and he'd taken his rifle with him. We saddled up and rode for Turkey Bend.
How much farther is it, Jim?
Just beyond them trees, Chester. I told you Obie was going to kill these fellas, Marshal.
Well, maybe they're not here.
If they're not, he'll find them.
So let's pull up.
I don't see no cabin.
It's right in there. There it is. See?
Oh.
Sure.
Wait a minute. Look over there, behind that log.
It's Obie. Hey, Obie!
So we better walk over.
Okay. Hey, what are you doing, Obie?
Down, you'll get shot.
Come on, let's run for it.
Beaver in there. I got him trapped.
Look, Obie, I'll handle this. You can't kill these men.
I done killed Giles already. That's him laying right by the door over there.
Oh, Obie, you did.
Blew the top of his head off.
Obie, I gotta put you under arrest. Now, give me your rifle.
Wait till I kill Beaver. I can't hang twice.
Give me that rifle, Obie. Now.
You mean it, don't you?
I do.
All right, I won't fight you. Here. But I'd sure like to kill Beaver.
Chester, take this rifle and keep an eye on him. I'm going after Beaver.
Yes, sir.
He'll kill you, Marshal.
No. He'll be too curious at first. I'll walk over there with my hands up. But you wait here till I yell. Beaver! Don't shoot. I want to talk to you. Come outside. Obie's under guard. He won't shoot. I'm a U.S. Marshal, Deaver.
You're the feller we run into the other day up our Riley's cabin?
I am. Now come on out.
Thought there was something about you.
I got Obie under arrest, Deaver. He admits killing Giles here.
You killed him?
Did you and Giles slaughter his mule and his hogs?
Ain't no reason to murder a man.
No? No, it isn't. But tell me about you. Did you murder Riley?
Well, wait a minute,
Mark.
You're
going back to Dodge with us, Stever.
Oh, no, not me.
Keep your hand away from that gun.
Let's see how good you really are, Marshal.
No!
Good for you, Marshal. Good. You killed him. Now they're both dead.
Yeah, they're both dead. But you murdered one of them, Obie.
Jail. I can't go to jail, Marshal. I'd go crazy. I'd go crazy in jail, don't you understand? I can't go to jail.
A hard thing to do, but I had no choice, and I took Obie back to Dodge and locked him up. A few weeks later, he went on trial, and after long deliberation, the judge sentenced him to life imprisonment. Obie stood up and said he'd rather be hung. Then I took him back to jail, and I sat there with him for a while.
I thank you for everything you said, Marshal. You didn't have to do that.
I just tried to get the judge to believe you went crazy and you didn't know what you were doing, Obie.
I knew what I was doing. I told him I did.
Yeah, I know.
Why wouldn't he let him hang me, Marshal?
And he did what he thought was just, Obie. He didn't think you deserved hanging.
I don't know how I stood it this long in jail.
I'm sorry, Obie. I wish I could help you.
They got windows in the penitentiary, Marshal?
Sure. Sure they have. But I'll be around later, Obie.
How's he taking it, Mr. Dillon?
It's pretty hard on him, Chester. Where's Jim Branch, anyway?
Oh, boy, I ain't seen him since the trial was over.
Well, maybe he'll come around later. I'm going to supper with Doc, Chester. We'll be at Delmonico's.
All right, sir. That could go crazy. Locked up, man? Oh, it's happened before.
There's nothing I can do about it, Doc.
Well, I know. I didn't mean it that way, man.
Pass me the beans, will you?
These are peas, Matt, but you're welcome to.
All right, peas. Peas, then. Thank you.
Why don't you take a vacation, Matt? You know, go back east somewhere, kind of like St. Louis or Kansas City or someplace like that.
Maybe I don't like towns either.
Well, that's just what I mean. You need a vacation, all right. Oh.
Yeah? Well, if I were a rich croaker, maybe I could take one.
Rich croaker? Croaker? Oh, man. Oh, croaker, man, how could you say...
All right,
Matt,
Doc.
Would you go
take it easy, well, Doc. You'll bust something.
It's a fine thing when a mere policeman can insult the noblest profession known to man.
I was insulting you, Doc, not the profession.
Oh, croaker. Oh, I might have known what it'd be like having supper with you tonight.
Sir. I'll buy you a drink after, huh? How's that?
Well, I don't know. Well, I'll think about it.
Dylan?
What's the matter, Chester?
Obie Ridgers. He's dead.
What?
I heard a shot out back, and I run into his cell, and he was laying there dead. There's a gun on the floor. I don't know where he got hold of it. You better come look.
He's dead all right now.
You think he killed himself, Doc?
Well, the gun was held right close to his head.
Maybe somebody called him over to the window and shot him.
Maybe. But he could have done it himself. The bullet entered right here, Matt.
Yeah. So you're saying it could be either murder or suicide?
That's right.
Well, why would anybody murder him, Mr. Dillon? It don't make sense.
Well, it could be somebody who understood how Obie felt about being cooped up the rest of his life, Chester. And somebody who liked him. A good friend.
You mean Jim Branch?
I don't know who used that gun, but Obie's dead. And I'm going to find Jim. Jim Branch wouldn't talk one way or the other. So I charged him with both murder and abetting a suicide. And he was brought to trial. The trial didn't last long due to lack of evidence, and Jim was freed. He left the country soon after, and I never heard of him again. As Kitty had said, he and Obie were kind of like brothers.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, Jack Crucian, and John Daner. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty, Roy Rowan speaking. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
From all corners of the globe comes the news, edited and reported for your listening pleasure on CBS Newsroom Sunday Desk every Sunday afternoon on most of these same CBS radio stations. Three top reporters bring you the latest up-to-the-minute news in their specialized fields. Dick Joy tells you about news at home and overseas. Tom Harmon handles sports. And George Fisher reports the movie land news. That's CBS Newsroom's Sunday Desk, tomorrow at the Star's address. Eve Arden, as our Miss Brooks, teaches you how to laugh tomorrow on the CBS Radio Network.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 26th of June, 1954 on CBS. And that closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.